First of all, today I would like to just acknowledge that today is International Women's Day. Not only do we want to acknowledge the women in the world, past, present, and future, that are making a difference, that are public figures, but also to acknowledge the women in our own lives that have been an influence upon us, that have shown us love and encouragement and inspiration in our lives. So make sure you do a little bit of that today, and every day for that matter. So the talk title today is Fear, Anger, and Guilt. Oh my. I thought about this for a long time because it's part of the material that we're teaching in How to Be an Adult. And one of the things that maybe in our previous religious experience, we kind of got religion or God as a salve that we just kind of smoothed over everything that hurt. But we never actually got down to what was causing the hurt in the first place. And, you know, the cynical among us in history have said that religion is the opiate of the masses. And we are certainly not here to promote that. We're not here to offer an experience of spirit that will make everything bad go away. What we're here to offer is that spirit is already present and is a strength and is a consistent presence in our lives that helps us move through the challenges of being a human being. Because we have them. And to pretend like we don't is foolish. Kit and I had a long discussion yesterday. It's nice when you can talk with one of your really, really dear friends about theology, because we can honestly get down to those deep, deep questions that maybe weren't safe for us to explore in our earlier churches. I got in a lot of trouble when I was a kid for asking questions that didn't fit with where I was, starting when I was about 9 years old. And God bless my parents, they were patient with me, but I did get a few sideways looks from my Sunday school teachers, you know? And when I would ask the pastor those questions, the answers that I got were never... they were never satisfactory. And so I had to grow up with a lot of questions and a lot of searching. That never stops, my friends. That never stops. If you question who God is, what God is, what is this all about, if sometimes you wonder where you can reach out and grab hold of an anchor, and that anchor doesn't seem to be present, that is as valuable a part of your journey as those peak moments when you are absolutely assured of the presence of God. We tend to label them as good and bad. We tend to think in polarities. And it's not an either or. It's a both in our spiritual practice. So when we look at those things that will sometimes hold us back in our lives, it usually comes down to those three things: fear, anger, and guilt. They hold us back. They keep us stuck. They make us think less of ourselves than we actually are. And how are we to live the life that we are created to live unless we can look honestly at ourselves? So in this great book that we're studying, And also, in the words of all the great psychological and spiritual healers in the world, we first have to acknowledge what exists in us. We have to acknowledge our fear, acknowledge our anger, acknowledge our guilt. You know, for many of us, having fear was not okay. Expressing anger was not okay. And feeling guilty was a way of life. You know, I spent a lot of time when I was a kid feeling guilty because I thought I was never good enough for this standard that was impossible to reach. The way it was presented, it didn't work. I always felt like I was doing something wrong. Do you identify with that?
Yes.
So one of the things that we learn is that we have fear that is part of our makeup as human beings that protects us from danger. It's built into our brain. It's one of the earliest developmental parts of our brain, which is to survive and to protect ourselves from danger. You know, if we were sitting around the campfire and there was a predatory animal nearby, we knew to seek shelter and pick up our spears and rocks. What's happened to us as we've become more evolved and more sophisticated is that we pick up our spears and rocks over imaginary things, don't we? We can scare the devil out of ourselves. I don't believe in the devil, but you know what I mean. The Dickens. We can scare the Dickens out of ourselves. And it's a construct of our own minds, this fear that we can conjure up. And we use it as a mask to prevent us from moving on in our lives. We use it as a buffer. We use it as an excuse. So that's the neurotic fear. And Ann Hollows... You preached. That was beautiful. You know, I woke up. I am so tired this morning. I am so tired. I'm a night owl anyway, and that is just awful when daylight saving times come. Oh, my gosh. That's like, oh, my gosh, it's 2, but it's really 3. Yep, I was up that late. And when I got out of bed this morning, you know, my cat was talking to me and all curled up beside me. It was just like, oh, man, I don't want to get out. You know, and there's that old joke about, you know, I don't want to go to church today. Well, honey, you have to go because you're the preacher, you know, so. So my prayer this morning as my feet hit my little prayer rug right beside my bed, my prayer this morning was, God, you got to do this because I ain't got it. Yes, I do got it. All the strength that I need, everything that I need is here, but that's not a solo job. That's music. That is prayer. That is sweet greetings with our beloveds. That's my dear nephew sitting here. That is Ann Hollows saying what I wish I had said. It was beautiful and thoughtful and inspired. So it's a joint effort what we do here today. I reached back when I started looking at just the idea of fear into science fiction. Because so much of what we create to scare ourselves is fiction, science or not. So I remembered an old phrase that I heard over and over again in the writings of Frank Herbert, who wrote Dune and all the Dune books that followed. Remember this? I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, there will be nothing. Only I will remain. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. That's all you have to remember. I love those words. I love Frank Herbert, actually. He was very, to me, one of the most spiritual writers in the science fiction genre. Well, along with Robert Heinlein and Ursula Le Guin and J.R.R. Tolkien and nerdy that way. So we have appropriate fear. We have neurotic fear. And it's always about something that we failed to integrate within ourselves. The opposite of fear is love. We think that the opposite of fear is courage, but the opposite of fear is love, that which we've come to express and to be. Fear is also defined as negative excitement. Think about that. Negative excitement. It's fear is rationalization. I can't do this because I'm afraid. It's sometimes fear is about fear of other people, which is giving them more power over us than we think we have. You know? There's nothing more powerful than you. Nothing. But we can make it so. We can fictionalize things and make it so. So the cure for fear, this is like in 25 words or less, the cure for fear is to admit it, to allow it. Let yourself go ahead and feel the fear. And then start acting as if the fear were not a power over you. So breathe. Focus on a serene image. Ask for support. Dig to the bottom of what fear is about for you. If you want, truly, if you want to go deep with this, join us for our Wednesday night class, because we're going to go there. We're going to talk about what scares us. Because you know what happens when you do that? You are opening the closet door where the monster lives and shining a flashlight into it with your friend standing right beside you so you can see that there is no monster. You know, if we said what we were the most afraid of out loud to another person, do you think they would judge us? Not nearly as much as we judge ourselves about it. And something about saying it out loud takes its power away. So it's the little things that we don't say, the little things that we're embarrassed that we're afraid of. That's what drives our ship. Is that the right phrase? Drives our car. Yeah, steers our ship. Thank you. That's it. Anne had the right metaphor, so just think about what she said. So that's the way we start to deal with fear. There's much more I could say about it, but I could do a whole month on fear. So let's talk for a moment about that other fun one, anger. Anger comes because something real or imagined is in jeopardy. How many times have you felt anger because of something that somebody else said or did, and your response was, "Do you know who I am?" Oh, come on. Have you ever thought that? How dare you? Do you know who I am? And the question I would turn back around to you is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? We can use our anger and express it to harm another. Or, because we're so smart, we can be passive-aggressive about it. Oh, I'm not an angry person. I'm just not going to speak to you for the next 792 days. That's what we do with our anger. We usually express it to harm, we're passive-aggressive, or we swallow it down and we make ourselves sick. Anger can be a true feeling. Jesus modeled it. Jesus modeled it. He saw something that was a violation of God's law, and he put a stop to it. Now, turning over tables would be a little dramatic. But you know the kind of anger that I'm talking about. There's an anger that spurs us to be active, to advocate for people who are disenfranchised or abused. There is an anger that stirs us to become more responsible about our world. There is an anger that inspires us to protect others. And so there is that true feeling. And then there is the avoidance of the feeling of anger, and that is called drama. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? Anger is a true feeling, and anger is drama. So accepting our anger can be very important. Again, we're acknowledging it. Yes, I have anger. And if it was not okay for you to be angry when you were a child, it is okay for you to be angry and express it in a way that does not harm other people. To be able to use it, to let it be a lively energy that can uncover the unintegrated parts of our ego. You see, sometimes anger is a cover for fear. You know? Think about a dog. A dog that's injured. A dog that's injured will sometimes act angry because they're afraid they're going to get hurt more. And that old saying about hurt people? Yeah, we got to find out what our hurts are, my friends. We really have to. It's our way to wholeness. Jesus walked about the earth healing the fearful and the angry. And he stood non-resistant to the anger of others. Did he not? That's the other thing. Until we can own our own anger, then we're fearful of other people's anger. Whew. Breathe that one in for a minute. Usually an angry person, including us, is hurt or afraid. Carl Jung said, in the intensity of the emotional turbulence itself lies the value, the energy to remedy the problem. So our wound is there to also heal us. Okay, are y'all sticking with me here? Got one more big frog to swallow. Guilt. appropriate guilt, the guilt that we, as ethical people should have, people with of a conscience should have, is that that precedes or follows unethical behavior. So you know when you've stepped out of your ethics. You know when you've stepped out of your values. And if you have guilt about it, that's real clear, isn't it? Oh, I messed up. If you're in a 12-step program, they tell you, make amends immediately. The sooner the better. If you've hurt another person, if you've done something unethical, if you've gone against your own values, the longer you try to justify it, the longer... Thank you. Just preach my own scarf off here. Thank you. Thought, what? This was a gift from my son, so I have to treat it very nicely, right? Where was I? Guilt. Yes. I stepped on the scarf my son gave me. I feel so guilty.
You stepped around you.
But you know what we do sometimes when we've done that? We try to justify why we did it. And you know what that does? That keeps us so stuck. You know, that's another place where we rationalize, well, I only did it because. Just go fix it. And say, man, I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. Let me make it right. Because the longer we carry it around, the more damage it does to us. Not to the other person. They might be hurt, but we can hurt ourselves a whole lot worse. I know you know. I know you know. Now, neurotic guilt is a belief or a judgment that's self-defeating. That's when we feel guilty about things that we don't really have a reason to feel guilty about except the one that we've created. We do it to ourselves. It's a disguise for fear. We're afraid to be assertive about something, so we just kind of shrink away in guilt. Neurotic guilt would have us downplay our responsibility for something. It's a mask for our anger, and it's a dodge of the truth. Ew. Are we having fun? The ways that we can remedy our appropriate guilt is an admission of it, an amendment, and an affirmation to follow through with new behavior. That's how we remedy that. Our neurotic guilt requires us to do a little more self-examination and go back to fear and anger and see where they're running things for us. All of these things, fear, anger, and guilt, are things that our psyche uses to trick us into believing less of ourselves. Our psyche tricks us. Fear is the mind killer. Guilt is a burden that you carry that is self-imposed. And anger, if not examined and expressed appropriately or dealt with deeply, is a poison that hurts us. Let's see, what's that old thing about being angry at somebody else? It's like taking poison and expecting them to die. First time I heard that, I thought, yeah. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. We're ingesting our own poison, expecting it to hurt somebody else. Wow. So here, I want you to hear this more than anything. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset the baby today. I really didn't. Indiana, you're not going to have to deal with this for a while, baby. You're still carrying all that innocence you got here with. Yeah. Here's the thing, beloved. All of these, the shamans would say, all of these things are things that follow us in the dark. And they will follow us in the dark and scare us and make us angry and make us feel guilty until we turn around and look at them and watch them disappear. Because we created that monster that follows us. We created it. What it requires of us is to be so, so gentle and compassionate with ourselves while we do this work. That is an absolute requirement. Fear, anger, and guilt are not reasons to punish yourself. You've punished yourself enough already if you've been carrying them around. And so we have in us the power of forgiveness for ourselves and for others. We have the power of courage to be able to say when we're wrong and to make things right with others. We have the power of strength to be able to do all things. The statement in the Daily Word that Charles Fillmore said, it goes along with "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm for life." He said it when he was in his 90s. I would like to fairly sizzle today. And I'm not in my 90s. We have everything that we need to work through this and our fear of working through our deeper issues holds us back from expressing that beautiful, beautiful being that we are created as. And so as we move through these areas of our lives, we have everything that we need to know what we need to know when we need to know it, to have things revealed to us when it's time for these things to be revealed, and to have the power to heal them and integrate them exactly as it needs to happen. Because we are God's very own. We are God's very own. It's another thing Kit and I were talking about yesterday. God immanent, God that lives in us, God transcendent. Somebody sent me a little note about me saying last week about God being bigger than the universe. Because we have still a limited idea of what the universe is. We know we have big. Yeah, that's our idea of the universe, big. So what if, you know, the imagination stretching out as far as it can to the outer reaches of the universe and God being beyond that? God as that great, creative, magnetizing, thermonuclear energy that is also in us. We're living with that paradox. And how dare we not accommodate that spirit in us that only wants that we express God as ourselves? That's all. Why do we have different faces? Why do we have different temperaments? Why are we the way we are? Because God longs to express exactly as you. and whatever we have to do to make sure that that is coming through us, to make the world a better place, to make us feel the value of our gifts. We must. So if you need a little help with that, Kit and I are available to work with you on that. Come to Wednesday night class. We'll work with each other. And remember, now we have a little more daylight in the evenings. Yay. And so you can get home before it gets totally dark. Beloved, all is well. All is well. Thank you for being willing to go to those hard places today. You know, thank you for being willing to go there. You wouldn't be here if you weren't up to it. And I acknowledge you and I bless you for that. So let us pray. If you can today, just think of yourself as a holy pilgrim on the journey of your own life. And if you're comfortable with it, make some pilgrim hands. Put your hands together. There's something about that that makes us feel humble. It's a gesture that's shared with people of all faiths around the world, bringing our hands together. And if you will, think of yourself as one hand and the Almighty Spirit as the other hand, and when they're together, there is no separation. If you will, think of the energy of the universe between your palms. And whatever has arisen for you today, whatever has opened up in your heart that might be in need of healing and integration, embrace it and be not afraid. For beloved, even in the parts where we feel broken, we are still yet whole. That's the promise. That is the reality. That is the potential and the fulfillment. Be gentle with your eternal self that is walking through this human journey. And we're all just finding our way. In these quiet moments with each other, in this quiet moment with the Creator, feel the touch of God upon your heart. Healing and mending and bringing into wholeness those parts that we're still uncovering about ourselves. And will you let yourself just be filled with gratitude for a moment in knowing that your journey is blessed every step of the way? That even in your darkest and driest moments, the Great Spirit is present with you. It's in your next breath. Be grateful that there is nothing that you can create that is greater than God. So for all that has been, for all that is today, and for all that is to come, we're grateful. And we let it go, know that everything is unfolding exactly as it should. And we say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is.